Hey there, everybody. Brad Geiger here with another episode of Webcomics Confidential. And as a carryover from the last episode, I got way into that topic, and it turned into something that filled up the entire allotment of time that I had for it. So I wanted to come back to a couple of the other question and answer type things that I had listed for that episode. And here's one that I think is really, really a good one. And this is a comment that came in through webcomics.com. It was a question that was emailed directly to me. And it says this: I was hoping you could talk a little social media strategy sometime. I was terrible for being that go check out my comic person, but I get completely stumped as to what else to post. I can't imagine anyone cares what I had for lunch, as those kinds of things always make me tune out. And I'm never sure when a simple opinion like Tupperware is useful sometimes is going to set off a rage response about somebody's Tupperware trauma. Do you have any go-to tricks for posting ideas, questions you might ask yourself, or techniques like the word association thing you've discussed for breaking writer's block? So, great question. Number one, that's where the three C's of social media come into play. That's exactly why I talk about that in that, you know, cheesy phraseology that is meant to help you remember things. The three C's: content, commercial, and curation. On those days that you don't have anything to say, you curate. That's what it's all about. It's not about coming up with something to say all the time, all right? That's when you go out and you find other people's posts when they have something to talk about, and you retweet or repost that. That's a great time to go out and share somebody's Kickstarter and make a little, hey, look at this. This is a great Kickstarter for reasons X, Y, and Z. I really like this comic. Man, people love that. You're doing them such a favor, and you're doing yourself a favor because you're filling that void, that steady drumbeat that social media kind of rewards. So go out and find, you know, you read comics, I'm sure, or you digest media of some sort. It doesn't have to be a comic, although I love doing that. See somebody did a funny comic or one that was particularly well-drawn or well-framed? Put that out there and say, hey, this was great, and here's why. Everybody wins, right? Here's a Kickstarter that I think has merit. Here's a news article that I've read. Here's a photograph that I like. You are constantly getting washed over by media to the extent that you don't even know it's happening anytime. Take a second, step back, and curate some of those right into your own feed. That's why I always say cartoonists are horrible at doing social media, because we are so wrapped up in the importance of original content, and it is important that we apply that to social media, where social media doesn't necessarily reward original content. Okay, it's clearly a big part of it, but the bigger picture is so much more broader. Save all that original content for your comic. And again, what happens in social media does not have to be important. And I've got an example of that I think is brilliant. But okay, let's also talk about this before I jump into that. Egocentric thinking. And it's what I said in an earlier post several years ago on webcomics.com, the difference between market research and mirror research. Market research is very important. It's that ability to go out and see the relationships between different things. This works, this doesn't. Market research is great. Mirror research is what you're doing when you're saying, I don't like Tupperware posts, so therefore nobody likes Tupperware posts. Mirror research is somewhat useful because if you've got a good sense of aesthetics, if you could have a good sense of taste, you can apply that to project things outward. However, we all get trapped in this mirror research idea of, I don't like this, so nobody likes it. And as a result, you're missing out on tremendous opportunities. The fact of the matter is, all you have to do is apply some solid market research to social media to see that these Tupperware posts drive incredible amounts of traffic. Oh, and by the way, if you make a Tupperware post and nobody responds to it, in 5 minutes, it's going to disappear. Nobody's ever going to remember that you posted it. It's literally a zero punishment situation, okay? So you make a post that nobody responds to. Who cares? Tomorrow, you'll make a post that 200 people respond to. And here's what I mean. Dawn Griffin, she's a Philadelphia cartoonist that I've known for years and years and years. And I'm connected to her on Facebook, and she posted this May 13th. Look, it's your perfect Tupperware post, right? Jimmy's or Sprinkles? And where are you from? Let's track this. In other words, on ice cream, they've got different little, you know, I call them Jimmy's, but I'm from Philadelphia, so we call them Jimmy's here. In Michigan, we call them Sprinkles, right? And it's just a situation, we find out that in different regions, they're called different things. I'm sure they've got even other words for them. I didn't follow the entire thread, but take a look at how many comments, how many people engaged this thread. At this count, 122. 16 people liked it, 122 people commented on it. Jimmy's or Sprinkles? Come on, come on. That's a total Tupperware post. It's total nonsense. Nobody really cares what these things are called, but it was interesting enough that people comment. Now, why is this important that people commented? I'll tell you why. Because the next time Dawn made a post, because she just did a post that 122 people were engaged on, those 122 people were more likely to see her next post and the post after that. And Facebook, the algorithm said, hey, this is somebody that has been able to get a good number of people commenting and engaging, and that's what we want here at Facebook. So I would be willing to assume that her next several posts went out to a broader audience in an attempt to capitalize on whatever it is that Dawn's got that makes Facebook happy. Mainly the ability to get readers to engage. Okay? So I know you tune out on the nonsense that goes on social media, but empirically, you have to realize that those are the posts that get people charged up. People love to debate nonsense. I know you don't like it. That's mirror research. Market research is everybody else loves it. And again, there's absolutely no downside to you. If you post Jimmy's or Sprinkles next week, and, you know, don't steal Dawn's gig, you know, but if you post your equivalent to Jimmy's or Sprinkles and nobody responds to it, shrug and keep moving on. It's going to filter to the bottom of the tank within 5 to 10 minutes, and then you're moving on, okay? Oh, and here's the other part of your example, where you said sometimes you don't know whether you're going to touch somebody off that for whom Tupperware is a hot button issue and they get all upset. Well, this happened to me just a few days ago. I was talking about the fact that I liked Arrested Development, and I said, you know, that was one of the reboots on Netflix that really, when they jumped over to Netflix, I didn't like it as much. And I mentioned that that I could not even trudge through the first episode of the new Netflix launched MST3K, and I mentioned I couldn't even trudge through the first episode of the new Netflix launched MST3K. I said I hated it, and then I went on to say, you know, one day at a time though is brilliant. One of my Facebook followers was incensed that I had, quote, shit all over this show. By the way, there's only one way to handle this. There's only one way to handle it. You apologize. You're not admitting or you're not taking some kind of, oh, I actually did something wrong. All you're saying is, I'm so sorry that this hit you the wrong way. In fact, that's exactly what I said. I said, I apologize if my comments struck you as offensive. This person came back with another tirade. How many hateds did you leave up there just to describe your opinion with no, I hate it because, just hate. Hate has a smell, dude. This person was obviously having a bad day. there's nothing else you can do other than to say, oh, gee whiz, I'm sorry. Again, you're not sorry that you said something wrong. You're just sorry that this person's having a bad day and has decided that you are going to be the target. There's only one way to handle that kind of thing, all right? And that is just to diffuse it as quickly as possible. Right. If I would have decided that I was going to dig in and take a stance against MST3K and how dumb it was and all this other stuff, I would have ended up doing exactly the opposite of what I want to do on social media. So you just say, oh, you know what? That one hit you wrong. I get that. I've read stuff that hits me wrong, too. Sorry about that. I'm sorry that I was the one that delivered it to you in this particular case. There's no harm in that, you know, and everybody has a bad day. And then a few days later, you just quietly unfriend that person because, let's face it, nobody needs that kind of drama, and move on. Okay. So that's social media in a nutshell. It's not mirror research. None of us is really, listen, no one's ever going to read an entire novel about whether they're Jimmy's or Sprinkles. Doesn't matter. This is social media. Everybody's getting 5 minutes away from whatever's going on in their life for that moment. They're at a bus stop. They want to try and not make eye contact with the person they're sitting next to. They pull out their phone and for a minute they've got something to pay attention that isn't creepy guy at the bus stop. And Jimmy's or Sprinkles is a pretty good alternative to that. So that's social media. The three C's. Remember the three C's all the time. And remember that it's not mirror research that you're worried about. It's not about whether this is interesting. It's none of the stuff that we put on social media is supposed to last, although it does. as people find out when they say something in 2014 and it gets brought back up against them later. But it's none of it is meant to be a lasting commentary. This is not your most creative effort. This is social media. It is Tupperware and Jimmy's. Okay. Here's a new topic I wanted to bring up just really quick since we've got a little time at the end of this episode. Here's something, and this person, I don't know whether they're a webcomics.com member. I know I'm familiar with this person from Facebook for years and years. He posted something that I really thought was interesting, and I commented, and I'm afraid I may have sounded, from his perspective, I might have been the person having the bad day. That may have been how he read it, because he took the thread down. But I tried to explain I wasn't being snarky. It's fascinating to me. And here's the topic. His Facebook post was simple, and it was a Tupperware post. I'm going to use Tupperware now for the rest of my life when I'm describing these. It was a Tupperware post, and it went like this. If you say you're a cartoonist, then you're a cartoonist. Hashtag IMHO. If you're old and crusty like me, you had to look it up. That means, in my humble opinion, if you say you're a cartoonist, then you're a cartoonist. Now, I literally, this was exactly what I wrote. I said, this is an honest question, and I swear I'm not being snarky. Does this work in other skills? In other words, if I say I'm a ninja, am I a ninja? And the thread kind of started taking off because, again, there's the heart of good social media. There's a little conflict there. There's just a little bit of, I think it's this, no, I think it's that. And as long as you can manage that in a thoughtful, polite way, it's all in good fun. And there was a lot of thoughtful replies. By the way, I'm still fascinated by this because one person came in and said, and quite accurately, this is the way it is with a lot of the arts. If you say you're a painter, then you're a painter. If you say that you are a sculptor, then you're a sculptor. And that's not the way it is with certain other skills and vocations. If I say I'm a plumber, that doesn't mean that I'm a plumber. But in the arts, it seems to be the case that if you say yourself, there's no way of quantifying what you do as an artist. There's no way of, you know, if a plumber comes in and when he leaves, if my pipe is still dripping, then that wasn't a plumber. That's a guy that just came into my house. All right. And I got to be much more choosy next time I let people into the house. But with an artist and money of the arts, this person was arguing, and I think it makes a great point, with the arts, it's not so. My response to that is this. Here's another thing that seems to be wholly dedicated to the arts, and that is that unlike a plumber who comes in and he does the job and then you pay for the job with no questions asked, artists have a notoriously hard time getting paid, right? They want us to work for free. That's a story as old as time itself. They don't want to pay us a full price. There's all kinds of payment issues that come in to being an artist. We're not expected to get paid for what we do. My question to you is, and I want you to hit the comments at webcomics.com and tell me what you think about this, because I'm fascinated by it. Given that if you say you're a cartoonist, then you're a cartoonist in the minds of many people, and given the fact that it's notoriously hard to get paid being a cartoonist, is that a direct relationship? In other words, does this mean that? Does the fact that we can't quantify what we do mean that it's really easy for people to excuse not paying us? That's a good one. By the way, that should be my social media for the day. But instead, we're going to take it over to webcomics.com. Jump in there. Tell me what you think. Is there a direct relationship between those two phenomena? That's it. Hit me. I can't wait to see what you guys said. That's another one, man, that rattled around in my brain for days and days after, because I think it's directly related. I'll flip over all the cards. I'll tell you exactly what I think. I think it's directly related. I think since we can't quantify what we do, since this is something that is so broad and so hard to define, and that's not a bad thing. It just is. That makes it part of the reason why it's so hard for us to get paid. Whereas if we were plumbers, it'd be a lot easier. We'd come in, bang those pipes around, fix the leak. Then we say, like my plumber says to me, now here's the part that really hurts. He tells me how much it costs. I've never tried to treat a plumber the way that I get treated as an artist, because he'd smack me with his monkey wrench. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe we need to carry monkey wrenches. Maybe it's the monkey wrench approach to being cartoonists. I don't know. Can't wait to hear what you think. This is Brad Geiger once again for Webcomics Confidential. I'll see you next time.